this new reel, beginning of Channel One Right, and the visit with Cookie this Saturday night, the 13th of March, 1971. The first visit in weeks. Channel One Right, and the visit with Cookie this Saturday night for supper, at supper, the 13th of March, 1971. Channel One Right, and a visit with Cookie this at supper this Saturday night, the 13th of March, 1971. The first visit in weeks. Channel One Right, beginning the visit with Cookie this Friday night, the 13th of March, 1971. The first visit in weeks. Channel One Right, beginning the visit with Cookie this Saturday night, the 13th of March, 1971. The first visit in weeks.
Nice if you
can
get it home.
Yeah.
Come on, Cookie, have a step.
Getting home, yeah.
Come on, Cookie.
Yeah.
I never thought a fine caboose would sell for $1,600.
Coming up, Cookie. Help yourself. Go ahead and dip in your. Did you have your dessert, Jeff?
I haven't had a bit.
Well, okay. Cookie, help yourself. Please nibble while we eat. Watch this.
Here. I got to talk to Jim.
Well, he had a rainy day.
Yeah, I had a rainy day in the station, too. I'll have you know.
Been raining uptown?
Yeah. Mess.
We just raining first out here.
Yeah, you notice any difference in this, in the students this past quarter, I mean this quarter, than what they were last quarter, previous to this one?
You mean just one quarter difference?
Yes, sir. Have you noticed any difference in the attitude that the students have?
No, I just struggle with it all the time.
Well, there's as much difference in this quarter and the last quarter as they are black and white.
Oh, really?
They sure are. By that I mean, last quarter, the students were cooperative with the public and understanding.
Yeah.
this quarter, they're just out to beat you.
They've been after you?
They got me. They've cleaned me out.
Well, you know what I told you about those sponge fishermen? My first experience here was with the young generation of the sponge fishermen. And they could handle themselves, you know. They were like Al Capone. They could just look at you cool and get your number.
That's right. And just clean you out.
They were smart fellas. I've had respect for them fellas ever since. The fellas they get here. Well, what did they do?
They take up your time. In other words, this morning, there was a flathead pulled in there, and he said, my car ain't running right. He said, could you tell me what it'll take to fix it? I said, I don't think so. All right. I told him. He said, well, he said, I'll tell you. He said, I'll bring it back next week. 99 chances out of 100, I'm willing to see that car.
Yeah, you know the one. Yeah.
99 chances out of 100, I'm willing to see that car.
Yeah, you know you won't.
Now that's where it's been all day today. Want me to tell them what's wrong with their car?
Yeah. Pick your brain.
Yeah, they just pick your brain.
That's what Dick Moss says they do.
Yeah. They do him the same way they do me.
I told him to quit dealing with students. Just deal with people that live out in town. They all go home all the time. They don't get much done here, I don't imagine, do they?
Hey, I bought a horse last Tuesday. I ought to brought to you.
Don't tell me.
That's right.
What about flashlight?
You did. Well, I can't think of anything, but that it was a Tennessee Walker. Or something.
Now, this one I didn't buy but a flashlight guy. I sold him, but I bought four up there at the sale and then run them back through, see? And one of them was a Tennessee Walker. But he was an expensive horse.
Oh?
Yeah, I guess I bid him in $265.
You bid him in for $265?
Yeah, I turned right around and ran him back through and got $280 out of him. Made $15 off the other man's money in less than 10 minutes.
Oh, you didn't even take him out?
No, I never even took him out of the barn. No, I bought four and ran them right back through. I traded for three and took him up and sold him. And I traded for three and bought three. Took him up. Done pretty good.
Well, the horse sales I've been to, they had a lot of sellers, but very few buyers.
Boy, there's a lot of buyers up there. Heck, there's one man all the way from Kentucky down there buying horses. In fact, the matter, he bought that good mare that I took up there. That good-looking mare.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Oh, she was a good-looking quarter horse. She's about 14 years old. Fat and pretty. But now she was all horse, I want you to know.
Hmm.
She'd ride along just as pretty as you please, but when you laid that rein against her neck, I mean, she would come up in the air and just wheel around on her back feet just like that. Make you grab leather. There's no way out. You had to grab that hat saddle horn or you'd fall off.
Oh, she whirled.
Yes, my fella. Now, not after a while. She whirled around now.
So you have stuff with some other stuff. Golly, well, you were lucky to get rid of her.
I gave $150 for her after dark.
Oh, after dark.
Yeah, I had never rode her, didn't even ride either one of them. I took them up there and made out, thank goodness. That old boy paid $185 for her.
Just thought she was good looking?
Good looking, that means she's a good looking animal. I took her up there and gave that old boy a dollar to clip her mane real close, you know, give her a quarter horse special. Trim free. Boy, I'm telling you, she went through there, I mean, right on down the line.
Well, who does the buying up there? Are they all horse people? Or?
Yeah. You ought to go with me sometime. Now
they just buy them and resell them.
Buy them and resell them. They buy them up there on Tuesday and take them to Tampa on Wednesday and sell them again.
Oh.
Yeah.
So he didn't care whether she whirled around or not.
No. Well, he was going to take her back to Kentucky. Yeah. He was going to take her back to Kentucky.
So you're just dealing with horse people up there.
That's right.
Horse traders.
Hey, I want you to know that's the best stew I've eaten in a long time. First, it's been cooked where I could eat it.
Well, I'm proud I had it tonight. Mm-hmm.
Now that's good stuff.
A juice is good.
Mm-hmm.
There's some prunes over there. Well, it sure scared me to death to buy a horse like that.
Then after I bought another little pony. He was a walking pony. Did you ever see one?
Mm-mm.
About the size of Tony. Now, he was a good walker. But the rest of them didn't catch what I did, I don't guess. I bought him for $70, run him back through and sold him for $77.50. After I looked at him, I didn't want him. He had a cloudy eye. His right eye was cloudy, and you couldn't tell it till you got up close to him.
Oh.
Well, you're just buying a pig and a poke up there.
Yeah, if you don't get up there early and look the horses over and look them all over real good before you go in there, before they start selling them. But that Tennessee Walker, he was a sorrow. Had four white stockings and a white mane and tail.
But you didn't ride him? No.
Yeah, I rode him.
Oh,
yeah.
You did?
He was a good riding horse, but he was, he had a little age on him. He was around 12.
Mm-hmm.
12. Do they consider that age?
Yes. When they bring one in there and they say he's got a smooth mouth but sound, he's over 12 years old.
Oh, yeah. He could be 20.
Yeah.
little sales to buy yourself a horse. You almost go to this trade, don't you?
Mm-hmm. I messed around from Saturday evening. I got home about 9 o'clock Saturday night, and I started called this old boy over at Noonan's Lake on Hawthorne Road. He said, "I got a horse I want to sell you." I said, "All right, I'll be over there. I'll look at it." He got over there. He had two, and I bought them both. And he told me where I could go buy one Sunday morning.
Oh.
I went and bought one Sunday morning. That made me three to take to market. But then I traded for three. So I made me six altogether to take up there.
And you came out on all of them?
I came out on all of them. I never lost a nickel on none of them. Next time I go to them, I'll lose my shirt.
Yeah, I guess good.
Not likely, though.
And they bring them in there from all over?
Oh, yeah.
Bought a horse for $260. Tried to resell it, I'd lose my shirt, I guess.
You'd be holding the bag, see?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I don't see many horses selling. Seemed to me like a good $100 is a good price for an awful good horse. Make more than a calf.
Yep, that's something that you can go out here in the woods and buy. Nowadays, it's a calf.
Have some more soup, have you?
No, I've had all my.
I'll give you a piece of this fresh cake.
You gotta go to market?
You gotta go to market. You can't go out here in the woods and buy a calf.
They just had too many people lie to them, haven't they?
That's right. Absolutely. Now that boy, I bought them horses off of, well, both of them. I asked them what they wanted for their horses. They told me what they wanted. I didn't change words with them. I bought them.
At their price.
At their price. Because they was priced reasonable.
And you knew the boys?
I knew the boys, and I knew they wouldn't misrepresent them to me. But this one that was a wheel horse, I called her. I didn't ask the boy how she rode or nothing. I said, "Will she ride?" He said, "Yes, sir, she'll ride." And she would. But he didn't tell me how. And he didn't tell me no lie. He said, "She'll ride." Well, she would if you could stand that saddle.
So, he got out from under that horse.
He got out from under that horse.
And you hauled the horse off and...
And made some money, too.
Sold the part, moved it for him.
That's right.
Do they ever have good saddle sales up there, too?
Yeah. Yeah. I run English saddle to $27 last week. Backed off. I mean, a pretty thing.
I sure was cheap for an English saddle if it was a good one.
I backed off.
Well,
you
can't buy things just because they're cheap, can you?
Well, I bought a saddle.
You did?
Western saddle.
Mm-hmm.
I bought it right. Bought two bridles, a saddle, three blankets, two dozen hand towels.
Two dozen hand towels?
Yeah. And, let's see, what else? I bought two blankets for $1.25 a piece, and I bought one for $1.60. I bought two bridles for $3.25 a piece, and I bought two dozen hand towels for $1.25 a dozen. And I bought the saddle, and the whole bill was $46.
Treasure chest,
and it was a brand new saddle too. It ain't never been set in. Ain't never been on a horse.
Oh.
The stirrups was hanging on the horn when I bought it. I put the stirrups on it. So it was in the trunk of the car and hoping I'd get $45 out of it.
But Tricky, you still have to have some money when you go to those things, don't you? If you're going to buy anything.
If you take livestock, no. Of course, they will. If you sell your livestock, they'll deduct that from your pay on your livestock.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I see. That is, if you're making money on your livestock.
More money in up on Saturday to Tuesday night. And I made in a month station.
Just on horse trading?
No, on horse trading. I done it easily. And a whole lot more enjoyable.
I guess it's kind of tiresome, man.
Yeah, I'll be out the first of the month, first of April. Yeah, out of the station completely. Because they cleaned me out. I lost enough money.
You know, you haven't got any choice now. You're just cleaned out.
That's right. Oh, I could come back, but be the same thing over again. I ain't going to try it. If I come back, it'll be in a different field. It's like Mr. Lake over at Transportation Department at the university called me. No, personnel called me Thursday, and Mr. Lake called me Friday. And he told me, he said, I got a man retiring the 1st of April. And he said, I looked at your application, and if the man goes ahead and leaves the 1st of April, there's no question, you can just come on to work.
There, Mr. Lake.
Mm-hmm. You heard of him?
I've heard the name. He's a transportation.
Mm-hmm. I'll be driving truck or helping in the motor pool or maintenance and just a little bit of everything. But my goodness sakes alive, for 40 hours a week, that'd give me a lot of time to horse trading if I want to. Be off on Saturday. I won't have to worry with nothing on Saturday.
Yeah.
At 4 o'clock come in the afternoon, I come on home. Instead of 7, 8, 9, 10 o'clock at night.
Well, look different.
But to me, personally, it'll be a different world. Because I tell you, I pulled wrenches for a long time. And I'm tired of it.
You had enough wrenches for a while?
I'm tired of it.
Especially when you're not getting money coming in.
Well, when it all comes in bad checks, I've got over $400 worth of bad checks in my pocket and in the car that I got in the last 2 weeks. I made 2 trips to Ocala trying to collect $131 check that a man gave me to keep from having me put in jail. But I've got no other alternative. If I don't get my money Monday morning, he'll be in jail Monday night. I'll put it out. And same goes with the rest of it. I ain't got no other alternative now. The past 2 weeks, if I could have got the cash, I'd made some money.
Yeah.
But the way it is, I ain't going to make no money.
Because you have to run around trying to collect
it? That's right. I'll be running my profit out, trying to collect it. And a man deal with you for a period of time like these fellas have.
And pay you?
Pay you to give you a check and it's always good. Never comes back.
Yeah.
Then all of a sudden, bang. They give you one for $131 and they done closed their account.
Oh, you mean people that you've dealt with?
That's right.
Well, I was thinking you wouldn't accept a check, a big one like that, unless you knew.
No, uh-uh. He'd been dealing with me all the time for the last 8 to 10 months. Come in, buy a couple of tires, and give me a check and be good.
Yeah.
Then he come in, he wanted an air compressor on his Chevrolet, 2 tires, oil change, and a tune-up. Come to $131.95. I go and buy the parts, give him a good price on it, because he was giving me a big order. And here he takes my money's gone, and my profit's gone. I made 2 trips from Gainesville to Ocala. But now, I ain't gonna put up with no more of it.
Well, you know, mechanics are in such demand now.
There's a great demand for mechanics, a great demand, because there are none. I've got a man coming in Tuesday morning that had his Cadillac at Brasington from Wednesday until last night. He picked it up.
Oh, really?
And it's still not fixed. He paid him $67. And it's still not fixed. And he's dissatisfied.
Well, you hear so much about dissatisfaction.
He come to me, he said, Mr. Cook. Mr. Miller from Brasington, you, Carlisle, told me he'd come down here and see you. He said, I'll tell you my problem. And I want to know if you can do anything for me. He said, now I had this car in their shop up there for 3 days to get this particular item fixed. He said, it worked one time. One time. He said he'd quit again. Now I wonder where the trouble is. Was his windshield wipers. They went in there, they wouldn't work. They were sitting straight up and down. They wouldn't move there, no way. Well, I know what they done. They put them all the way back to park position. All right. Once he turned them on, it would run. See? But when he cut them off, wherever he cut the switch off, that's when it stopped and they wouldn't move no more. Because the parking paw wouldn't put it back in operative position for the motor to take over. The motor would run, but the wiper wouldn't work. So he asked me what was wrong with it. I said, I don't know you. I don't know where you got your work done. And he told me. He said, I got it done at Brazenton. He said, I had it in the shop. And he said, Mr. Miller from Brazenton's used car lot sent me down here to see you. I said, I don't know where you got your work done. But the parking paw solenoid in your windshield wiper motor is burnt out. He said, can that be replaced? I said, yes. But not today. I can't get one. He said, I'll be here Tuesday morning and I want it fixed. And he showed me the bill where they worked on the windshield wipers and the back windows. Well, whenever his windshield wipers doesn't operate, that throws the breaker for his back windows wide open, which they get no current. So I got that to fix Tuesday. And that's a ticklish proposition to work on, too.
Oh, it is.
It sure is. Because you're dealing with a little solenoid about just about that long and about 5/8 of an inch in diameter, I mean square. And you've got 7 wires to hook up to that thing. They've all got to go in the right place. And you got to solder them in with an electric solder gun. I put them in. Takes about 3 hours to do it.
30 hours?
3 hours. About 3 hours.
Three, I think. Mm-hmm.
And I can't be interrupted. Whenever I open that thing up, I can't be interrupted. Because if I'm interrupted, I'll goof up.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how are you going to do it then down there?
I'm going to wait till Frank comes in at 2 o'clock, and then I'm going to do it. I'm going to take it back there and put it on the workbench and tell him not to bother me. Then I'll get it done.
Long time not to be bothered down there.
Ain't no, won't bother me.
Are your uncle, or your cousin, or your best friend, or your...
Now, Clyde, he knows what they are, and he's been into them before, and he knows you just absolutely can't be interrupted whenever you start putting them back together, because there's so many parts that's got to go in, just like taking a watch apart. And that's about what it's like. But they are repairable and they serve as separate parts for them.
He's done right smarter things, hasn't he?
Yes, sir, he has.
Will he be back first April?
Yeah. He left Friday night.
Yeah. Finally got off.
Yeah.
Well, that's not so long. Look at that. This is the 13th, Friday night.
He left the 12th.
Just a little over 2 weeks.
Yeah. That's enough for him. He'll lose his or win his money enough.
Yeah.
He'll either lose enough to make him sick or win enough to make him happy, and then he'll come on back home here.
Yeah.
That's all he's going for, is to gamble. He's going to Las Vegas to gamble.
Just has to every once in a while.
Just has to. There ain't no way of getting out of it.
Well, is Gorman his sidekick? They old buddies?
They grew up together from little boys.
Oh, they growed up together.
That's right. They've grown up together. They've known each other all their life.
Oh. Well, Gorman don't. Does he gamble?
No.
Or just kid stuff or something like that?
Yeah.
I wonder if he talks to Clyde the way he does to me.
I don't know how he talks to you. I never heard him.
Oh, he really lays it on. He lays it on thick. Oh, he uses big words from way back down there. You know, he and Clyde don't talk like that.
No, they just talk everyday common language.
Yeah. He sees me, he gets out his dictionary.
And you have to almost get out yours too, don't you?
Well, I don't need to know everything he says. I just, he don't give me a test on it.
I like to hear him laugh.
That's right. Yeah. And he works around that lunch at Fat Boys. Him and Clyde.
Yeah.
Hazel works out there.
Yeah.
That's his friend.
That's Clyde's friend.
That's Clyde's friend.
Yeah. Clyde will go out there and get his dinner for half price.
Yeah.
Because she works there. And end up paying for Gorman's at full price.
Well, who's Gorman's girlfriend?
Her first name is Joyce, and I don't know what
Joyce,
her last name
Joyce,
is.
Joyce, Joyce.
Yeah.
But Hazel works out there.
Yeah.
Well, what does Joyce do?
She works at the University of Florida.
She's not Johnson. She's worked there a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She got two or three girls.
Children?
Mm-hmm.
But how old?
Now wait a minute. She's got two boys and two girls. The boys are about 10 and 12, and the girls is about 16 and 18.
Oh.
Now, the one girl just got her driver's license about two or three, 4 months ago.
Now, Gorman's got that apartment over there. Or is that her apartment?
That's her apartment.
I see. He just goes over and visits her.
He don't go over there and visit her. He goes over there and stays there.
He was cute. He gave me, for some reason, he said, here's my telephone number. Or here's where you can reach me. I don't know why he thought I wanted to reach him, but anyway, he said, here's where you can reach me if you need to reach me. He said, now don't be surprised who answers the telephone. It may be a child, or it may be a grown-up, just don't pay any attention.
He come out here one day, well, let's see, last week, I believe it was.
Yeah.
Just come out here and fool around, huh?
Yeah, he left sick. He said, I'm going out to farm, just mess around.
Yeah.
He had nothing else to do.
Yeah.
And no place to go. And we'd rode him so hard there at the station about him being a cheapskate. But he had to move.
Yeah,
I mean, we got some close on him, but he had to go now.
Yeah, he'd take so much of it. Huh? Well, he come out here and try to pass it on me.
Frank come in for station one one evening last week. I told, I asked Gorman. Gorman just drove up. I said, Gorman, did you bring some coffee? He said, no, sir. He said, I ain't got the price of a cup of coffee. I said, well, all right. I said, come on, Clyde, let's me and you go get a cup of coffee. So me and Clyde went up to the donut shop to get a cup of coffee. And we didn't get pulled in good till Gorman pulled in. We didn't sit down. We all three sat down together. We drank some coffee. We all just kept sitting there, you know. Wondering who was going to pay for the coffee. And Gorman, he just sat there. I just sat there. I said, well, somebody got to pay for this coffee. We done drunk it. And Gorman said, well, said, I've got a $50 bill. He said, now she'll bust that $50 bill. So he said, I'll buy the coffee. And Clyde winked at him, at the girl, and he said, now, the old man there's going to pay for the coffee this morning. Well, by the way, she busted his $50 bill, and now he ain't all said no more about paying for no more coffee if they bust the $50 bill.
Yeah, is that right? Down the coffee donut shop.
Yes, sir. A $50 bill to get 46 cents. It's the truth. He denied it, though. Oh, I'm telling you, I heard him. We had a lot of fun out of him. But that's the first time that man's bought coffee, and I don't know when.
Oh.
As a rule, we go up there, he just drink his coffee and fumble around there and fumble around, and he'll embarrass us. Well, we got to where we didn't care, you know.
Uh-huh.
And me or Clyde wanted to pay for coffee. Well, I could have paid for it, but I didn't.
Clyde pays for his lunch out at the Fat Boy.
Yeah. And he'll go in out there in the morning, see, they give him free coffee. The Fat Boy makes coffee and gives it to the workers that come in there. They don't, they're free service. On
really?
Coffee. That's right. Until 11 o'clock.
Oh.
Until 11 o'clock. And they expect whoever drinks the coffee to tip the girls enough to, you know, for their wages. So their pay don't start till 11 o'clock.
Oh.
They got to work from 9 till 11, then their pay starts, see.
I've heard that.
Well, that's just a ruling that they got. But, as a rule, everybody will tip them enough to where they can afford to go in. And
oh.
I saw Hazel come in there, and she's made as high as $35 in one day tips.
Really?
That's right. She makes real good money in tips.
And she's a wait. She does the wait.
But that Gorman, he won't even tip him. He won't even leave a tip for the waitress. Of the morning when they go out there and drink coffee. No.
You mean
no.
He's cheap?
He's that cheap.
I wouldn't have believed it. I would have believed that he would have over-tipped.
He never tips. No, he never tips.
Well, now, what do you know? Well, he talks like he's mighty free with his money, could
he? No, he's cheap. I'll tell you how cheap he is, since you brought it up. I'll just tell you how cheap he is. He had two tires he wanted mounted on his Cadillac. No, his Pontiac. He brought them down there. He said, Frank, he said, how about mounting them two tires and I'll pay you for it? Well, any place else would have been $5. For taking the wheels off the car, breaking them down, putting the tires on and putting them back on. That's $2 and a half a piece. He gets, Frank, a $1 bill. And he worked for 2 solid hours. Frank walked in the office, he said, "That chief so-and-so. And he won't do nothing to a woman no more. No. Even Clyde gives him more than that. And Clyde's tight. And admits
it. Oh, really?
It. Yes.
And he admits it.
He admits it.
Clyde is tight?
Clyde is tight. And admits it.
Well, I don't swear. Well, I would have figured both of them were just sold the money away.
He'll tell you right quick, ain't nobody taking care of Clyde but Clyde. Yes, my fella.
Well, he got plenty of money. He's not hurting, is he?
No, he ain't hurting.
Well, he not sold it away.
Well, it's almost 8 o'clock.
I would have thought just through this. I was going. Yeah, I hadn't thought one way or the other, but you know. I guess maybe just sold his dad's Cadillac and
well, they look like fast company, you see. They drive Cadillacs and they do all this freewheeling, you know. You don't know when people are talking just how much freewheeling they do. You can't, it's hard to separate talk from
the real action.
Yeah. A lot of times a fella can be kidded, you know.
Well,
you'd be doing freewheeling yourself when, you know, get up an idea when the others ain't done it. I've seen that done, see.
Mm-hmm. It's just like over at service station. Now, 95% of the people that come in there would never realize that I traded horses. 95% of them. They think that my soul is set right there in that service station. But they're as far wrong as wrong can be. In the past month, my mind's been all over the world. I gained 27 pounds, and in the past 2 weeks, I lost 14 of them. Sure did.
Horse trading. Bad check.
You worry. I'll kill you.
Well, now, you know, Helen, she's different from what she was when I first saw her. Is she worried?
She worries because I worry. She worries because I worry.
Last time through I've seen her, you know, she didn't pick up hardly a thing. You know, she might lie there.
Yeah.
Well, now, I'll tell you, in the past all year, she's been having a lot of trouble. A lot of trouble that we all don't know about.
Over there. And she don't talk about it. Well, now for a while, you know, she'd go there and be restful to her.
Yeah.
When you all first come out here.
Yeah, when she was on that one cottage
permanently.
Yeah. And see, they pulled her off of that place and worked her every place for a while. Now they put her back on the halfway house permanently. But she's not satisfied there.
Everything changed since that new man went in?
Everything.
Did you read what they've had 2 or 3 editors on that these wardens down there and the guards at up there at Rayford beating up them people. Did you read that?
Yeah, Laura, she wrote an essay on it at school.
Beating them up?
Yeah.
With the warden looking on?
Right. Yeah, she wrote, somehow it came up at school that they was to write an essay on a subject that that of the latest happenings of one particular subject. Well, she happened to one of her patients. When she was on the fifth floor, was an inmate from Rayford where he got hurt some way. So she said he was just as nice to her as he could be. So she wrote an essay on it. I don't know what she wrote or nothing. But now she got all those editorials out of the paper and. She gathered, well, she had a whole big bunch of stuff, and she gathered it all up, and then she wrote an essay from those editorials.
Do you think fellas up there would do that?
They did. You wouldn't think they would.
Is that your idea of what the police do? You seen it?
I haven't saw it. But I saw enough out of the Gainesville Police Department to know that the state of Florida's got the poorest law enforcement in the union, to my book.
And they come around there accommodating,
they don't. Yeah. And I told them so, too. I'll tell C.R. Johnson or I'll tell Lieutenant Beach so. I have told them. But to me, the state of Florida's got the poorest law enforcement in the union.
What do you see them do most of this?
Mostly, the most out of way thing that I can see that they do to be a little thing is these new students. That come to Gainesville, bring the money to Gainesville for their schooling, and they have no transportation. All they have is a bicycle. And I have saw ticket after ticket wrote and cost them students $7.50. Because they was riding a bicycle on the sidewalk without a tag on it when they would just come from the bicycle shop and bought that bicycle. And had shown a police officer the bill of sale of that bicycle, and it was dated that day. And they said, "We just come from the bicycle shop." It cost them $7.50.
You get it. That's right down the alley, in my estimation. From what I've seen of jailers and policemen and all. Yes, sir.
Then another thing, too. when I was having all that trouble with parking problems there on my property, I could not get cooperation from the police department, no way I turned.
You got no help at all?
None at all.
Well, what happened to make it lighten up? You don't have as much trouble as you had.
A month stereo moved up the street two blocks.
Oh. Well, I saw the stereo place up there. I didn't recognize it, the same one. Well, they should have. That was a fabulous thing, to have a place of business there and nobody could park in the front or the side or...
Behind or nowhere.
Nowhere.
But, you see, as long... They can still block me out. The public can. As long as they have got one wheel on the sidewalk. You can pull up there, guy, and leave one of your tires set on the sidewalk. And there ain't a thing I can do because you are partially on city property.
You can put your booster behind it and boost it out in the traffic.
No, sir. I cannot do that. Not legally. They can get me for destroying public property.
They won't know anything about it.
Well, I ain't going to be there long enough to find out. Of course, after the first of the month, I'm going to leave there.
Well, let me tell you, cause it, you know, it seems like that's what everything sort of stimulates in a fella now, makes him vindictive. He keeps thinking about how he get even with somebody. That's an awful way to think, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, it don't make any difference to me. I mean, I know they've got a lot of people there's kicked me in the back and stomped me in the face and everything else. But is it right for me to walk around and stab them in the back and kick them in the face?
No. You just go around muttering to yourself, thinking, by there, and I'll knock the fire out of them next time. That's awful, isn't it?
That's right.
Just to have thoughts like that. You never did before, did you? Well, you think that's caught up with us, or is it?
I think it's caught up with the public in general.
Yeah.
I do.
Yeah. So if you go out to the Podunk, you still, at the crossroads, you still run into it?
That's right. Just like that situation with Laura. See, I've been following her home for about a month.
Yeah.
I've asked the sheriff's department to do it. They followed her one time. I called them again. They followed her again. And I can't get no cooperation no more from the sheriff's department. I called them up and told them. I said, I'm following her. I've got my shotgun in my car. And if you hear of a gang of niggers being shot en route to Hawthorne, don't come looking for Cookie. Just keep on looking for that other man, because I'm done being gone. And I'll shoot him, so help me if I catch a mess with him.
They'll do it.
Just as sure as I can pull a trigger on that shotgun, I'll fill him full of buckshot.
You see? Just as vindictive and going around muttering.
That comes right back to our law enforcement officer.
Yeah.
We ain't got no law enforcement.
But look at the shape it puts you in.
That's right. It puts me in the middle. And it puts you in the middle.
It just makes you go around muttering.
That's right. It's like if you was having an accident.
Thinking about, if I get a hold of him, I'll burn him. I won't pat him.
Like you told me, if you ever had an accident, you wouldn't call a law enforcement officer. You'd just go on home. Forget
that's
it.
Right.
I got my lesson on that. No, sir. Mm-hmm. I just tell the man, come on, let's go over here and talk it over. Yeah.
Hell,
they
don't care. Or you might run into somebody who's
hysterical
and you're rotting, you know.
Oh, yeah.
But most of them, when you got insurance.
Yeah, as long as you got insurance. You take, like when Clyde got hit in the back with that Volkswagen. When he had that Volkswagen, that nigger hit him in the back. Clyde didn't have no insurance on the VW at the time. Didn't have nickels for it. He got out and looked at it. He said, are you hurt? And this nigger said, no, It banged up a little bit. He said, "Is you hurt?" Clyde said, "No, not very much." He said, "Well, you're hurt as bad as I am, and I'm hurt as bad as you are." He said, "Let's just, how about us forgetting about it?" And they said, "All right, let's go."
Is that right?
Yeah.
Is that right?
That's what he told me.
Is that right?
It happened right there in front of my station on 13th, and I saw it.
Yeah. And both of them was to blame.
Both of them was to blame. So they just cut on out. Clyde fixed his, and the nigger fixed his. Well, I fixed Clyde's. Clyde didn't. I fixed it.
And they glad to get out of it.
They're glad to get out of it. All right, if they had reported that to police, that police report would have went into Tallahassee,
yeah.
And then each one got a marker on their license.
Yeah. And also got a fine.
That's right. They cost them both $35 apiece.
For having an accident.
That's right.
That's the biggest swindle.
It
as
is.
As far as the law or anything, you wouldn't think the law would be such a swindle as that. That's just a pure swindle.
Well, it's just got that way in the past few years.
Yeah, little by little.
Just little by little.
Yeah.
Just like the nigger situation. It's got worse little by little.
Yeah.
Over the past 5 years. You take back 5 years ago, why, we never thought about having all these rights and so forth.